So, Steve, where are you now? You're on tour, right?
Yeah, I'm in Philadelphia, and I just came down from Maine Wednesday night, overnight, and I spoke yesterday in a classroom at UPenn, and tonight I'm doing a reading at Temple.
Great. Who's coming to your readings?
Everybody. What do you mean? People in the audience?
Yeah.
I mean, lots of people. Usually it's a lot of my internet friends. When I first started out, I almost knew everybody from social media already because I had been interacting with them. In the recent past year or two, it's become more of a thing where I know fewer of the people and they've just been following me. So who knows?
Well, I first discovered you through the poem you posted on YouTube called "What is Heavy Petting and Can We Please Do It?" Let's listen to it.
This is a poem I wrote for my girlfriend called "What is Heavy Petting and Can We Please Do It?" If you ever perform a Lutheran or Methodist sex act on me, I will simply tell you, "Darling, this is not satanic like you promised." And you will probably reply, "YOLO." And then for your birthday, I will get you elected as a legislator in the House of Representatives, which will really piss you off. I really want a British man to narrate a video about our mating rituals. Like the moment when we start watching Kazam is when the movie would start. You look so good in a mirror holding a phone. I want you in the place where you swallow rain. I want you in the quietness of these animals and their homes. When I'm doing anything with you, I think I want to do this with you until the end of the year of the horse. You are more beautiful than a horse. Every comparison between a non-human animal and you seems accurate. You seem like you are a toy bird full of live birds. You seem like rain passing through lower clouds. You seem like in the universe there is nothing softer than you. I like you so much, I view your snaps for the whole 10 seconds. With you, the silence of the moon is not like usual silence. It is more long. It is like there are parts of you so quiet I could not even put my ear on them. I can only whisper onto you. You are barely like rain, but you are close enough that I have to say it. Just like how you are not even bear-like. I don't know the name of your body's language, but what it says to me is more compelling than the sun. There is nothing more compelling than the sun. But your body is more compelling to me than the sun. I think the way you touched me is like the air at the top of the night. Small bears walking on corn stalks. You, gentle bear. How I like you now is impossible for me to shut up about. Go in the night with me. Go with me in there. Give me something small from the inside of the night.
When did you start posting YouTube videos?
I started that around the beginning of 2011, and it really slowly evolved into what it is today.
So how did it start out?
It started out more like I was doing a straight-up vlogging style, like I was talking about things. I made some video responses, too. Basically, I was interested, like, I'm a poet, so my tool that I use is language, and so I was interested in looking at the internet and seeing all these different forms that language can take, and so I was working on image macros, which are like kind of like the lolcats where you put words over a picture. I was interested in using Twitter and Facebook status updates as language. I was interested in animated GIFs. But yeah, the videos have been what has taken off the most. So I started looking at vlogs and video responses on YouTube and stuff, and I started doing those. But then it evolved more into where I was cutting out a lot of the parts where I was explaining subjects and more where I was just making different jokes and saying lines of poetry, basically.
So do you consider the videos poems?
That is a very interesting question. I consider them poetry. I think you can definitely understand them as poems, but it takes a sort of an open mind.
Well, there's a way in which poetry is kind of moving in this direction, right? Like if you think about Kenneth Goldsmith's work, which is found language, essentially.
Yeah, so it was Kenneth's class that I talked in yesterday at UPenn. So,
Yeah, I'm familiar with Kenneth's work, and it's just interesting that poetry has been so many different things throughout history. So, I mean, it started out as an oral recitation thing, and people would tell stories, and there was rhyming in it so that you could remember the stories easier and stuff. And then it became more of a written thing. And now today, it's sort of splintered off in different directions. There's poetry on the page, and then there's slam and performance and spoken word poetry. And a lot of times, it's sort of expected for a poem to do both. It's supposed to work on the page and work as a reading. But then there's people doing stuff with the page where it's not just straight up written down the page, but, you know, there's heavy visual elements where the words are scattered around the page, or even different font sizes and stuff like that. So poetry has been so many different things. It's really quite a diverse and fluid art form. And so that's why, to me, it does seem pretty natural to put it into all these different internet forms. And it still feels like poetry to me, because poetry has just always been that fluid, that it can sort of go anywhere that language goes.
A lot of your videos have tens of thousands of views. And I imagine that for a lot of emerging poets, they'd be very happy to know that one of their poems had been read even 30,000 times or more. Beside the view count, what kind of responses do you get to the videos?
Well, the best thing I get is just individual messages from people telling me that that my videos have had such an important impact in their lives. A common thing that people say is that they watch some video of mine every morning when they wake up or something. And that's, like, really valuable to me, just to know that, like, in the same way as almost like meditation or like something that people do every day to sort of put them in the right state of mind to recenter themselves on who they want to be, that my videos can actually be doing that for people. Quite a number of people from the messages I've gotten is really encouraging to me.
I wonder if one of the videos that people watch a lot is We're Alive at the Same Time. Maybe we should play that one. Actually, I should mention that it's called We're Alive at the Same Time, (), which is the smiley face emoticon.
I caught my wife appearing offline to me. I knew from that day forward our marriage was over.
I'm the Sean Parker of twerking. I invented the Napster of twerking.
What social network of twerking did you invent?
I have an idea for a hotline called Dial a Fuckface. No matter when you call or how many people call, it just goes to my cell.
What if your moneymaker is your cunning intellect and sense?
I gotta shake my moneymaker like somebody's about to pay me.
We're dads, we're on Pinterest, and we want justice.
Oh, here's another day where I appreciate plant life. You! I love plants!
My dog is the Houdini of dogs. The Houdoggy.
How's this for tech savvy? I'm gonna cut your esophagus out of your throat!
I'm gonna use my iPhone to cut a hole in your stomach. There's a 16-gigabyte flash drive in your stomach.
Steve Miller was lying. He knew that he couldn't fly.
I don't know how people found the motivation to have kids before Instagram.
Let's see what God has to say about this.
Get off my DSL connection! These birds are creative, but can they paint?
When I get home, I'm taking out the trash and you're going with it because you're trash.
I gotta go get my All City tattoo touched up.
Holy shit, I'm online! Holy shit, this is the internet!
So tell me a little bit about how you put those collage-y videos together.
Yeah, so I usually start by improvising humor for a really long time. Like, usually if there's a 2-minute video, that means I shot about 2 hours of me just improvising in front of the camera, trying to say funny stuff, you know, sort of just riffing off ideas. And then I cut out all the parts that seemed like they flopped to me, all the parts that seem less exciting, less boring. I mean, more boring. So it's oftentimes you'll get the final cut will have these lines where I sound really worked up about something, but it's like cutting right into the middle of a conversation. It's because all the riffing and joking before and after that were cut away because I only kept the part that was most interesting to me. So the cuts are really abrupt usually.
And you're holding that, it looks like most of the time you're holding either your phone or a camera kind of at arm's length.
Yeah, it's all in the selfie position, you know, which sort of I love, even though, like, it's interesting. I've wanted to sort of increase the video production quality on my videos sometimes, like get a better camera maybe or something. I'm still using my phone most of the time, and I still use, like, iMovie to edit pretty regularly. But I think that rawness and using, like, a populist form, you know, like just carrying the camera around myself like a selfie, I really appreciate that, you know, and I really appreciate that it's like theoretically anybody could make this type of video. Like, I don't know. I mean, that's a common thing in the art world. Like, my kid could make that or something. But I really appreciate art that's like that, that's like it's not trying to impress you with its formal like components and like its craft. It's like it's trying to actually just move you.
You know, there's a rawness to those video poems that I'm guessing might not seem like poetry to a more traditional crowd. But, you know, a lot of our lauded poets wrote stream of consciousness, right? Like Walt Whitman and Gertrude Stein.
Yeah, I mean, that the sort of automatic writing, they call it oftentimes, when you're just, you're trying to write faster than your thoughts even, theoretically, so that stuff will come out that you couldn't have, like, premeditated that much. Like, it, like, taps you into a higher level of associations and, like, sort of, sometimes it's just, like, a randomness that, but then it can line up, you can come up with something that actually really works really well. So, I mean, that's definitely been a thing for a long time. And then also, there's been, you know, you mentioned Kenneth Goldsmith earlier, but there's also Flarf poetry has been a huge influence for me.
I don't know what that is.
Flarf poetry was a thing, is a thing where a lot of writers will put in a couple terms into a search engine and then sort of go through the results. Usually they put in real inappropriate or wild combinations of terms, and then they'll go through the search results and compile poems out of fragments from the search results. So you're really getting the smattering of all these different random internet commenters and stuff put together, and oftentimes it's very, very raw and lewd and random seeming. And so if you're familiar with those versions of poetry, then I feel like my stuff is a little bit less of a far jump.
Right, right. Coming back to that Whitman Stein question, maybe it's just that with the videos, you can see the edits and hear the edits, whereas a poem on a page, all of the editing, if there is any, is just invisible.
That's an interesting point, yeah. Because the way that I compile page poems, because I still do write some longer poems for the page, that love poem earlier, What is Heavy Petting and Can We Please Do It, that one was not improvised in front of the camera. That one I wrote out in a sort of a text document on my computer. And the way that I do those is very similar to the way that I make the videos, though. I try to compile a lot of material, and then I cut out all the stuff but what seemed the most exciting, the most fresh, you know, the most stuff that doesn't get old after I hear it once.
Well, do you want to read us something from your latest book called If You Don't Love the Moon, You're a Word We Can't Say on Public Radio?
I'll just read it, I guess. Everybody I see hurting, and I don't want them to hurt. I want you to be okay. I don't know how to stop you from hurting, but I will try to do it. I wish I was better at it. I want to stand for what is right to me. I don't want to do anything that I think is bad for humans or other animals or anyone. I want to work harder than I have been. I want to be hugging you. I wish that I could take care of you somehow. I don't want you to be cold or alone. You are beautiful and deserve to feel good.
It's so lovely.
And thank you.
What we didn't mention is that the subtitle for that book is Poems and Selfies. Can you describe that aspect of it a little bit?
Yeah, so I was putting together this book, and I self-publish, so I can make sort of spontaneous decisions about what I want to do. One time, it was a joke that I was thinking of changing all the page numbers in my book to 666 because I could do that because there's no editor to tell me I shouldn't. I ended up not doing that, but this in putting selfies in my last book was an idea that came to me and I thought would be really funny and really interesting. And, like, I've always tried to make sort of visually interesting books, you know. Along with the selfies in that book, there's also a lot of text that's set in a bigger fonts, and and I sort of, you know, I mess with the spacing and the typography and everything. So the selfies, though, yeah, my selfies are really top-notch in that book. A lot of them were selfies that I originally took for my my girlfriend who I was courting last spring, and so I had this wealth of great new selfies that were even unreleased online, so I put them all in this book.
So why did you put your face in this book of poetry?
Well, I mean, it's, I mean, partly it was just the amusement that, because selfies was such a, like, a catchy term, like a funny, loaded term in 2013 and still is, I felt like it was amusing to put selfies, this, like, low art form or whatever, next to poetry, which is traditionally this high art form. And so there's something where I'm just playing with that clash and, like, wanting to embrace the populist culture and stuff. There's also something where I wanted myself to be in the book, you know. Walt Whitman said, when I give myself, you know. And I really loved Walt Whitman so much because he really gave you his whole person, like his whole belief system and his whole, like, everything that he feels is there in such a sincere form. And I like giving people my whole self. And when people watch me on the internet, it's in video form with my face right there. And when people see my tweets and everything, it's got my little avatar right there with my face. And so I felt like being there in a more heavy way in the book would be fun also.
A Gawker critic called your mashup videos selfies of the soul. When you're shooting them, do they feel like selfies to you?
I mean, the camera angle makes them selfie-like. I feel like, I mean, maybe in a deep sense, you know, in a metaphorical sense, because it's so stream of consciousness, because it's so, like, tapping into a level where I don't know what I'm going to say before I say it. And so, you know, the best ones are sort of doing something like that. They're trying to take a selfie of my sort of inner, what I really feel beneath everything, you know, that the humor is just, when it's on, it's because it's free and because I'm just saying things that really express what's really funny to me. You know, I'm not trying to game it to be funny for somebody else, but I'm just really exploring off the top of my head, like super fast speeds of what it would be funny to me. And then when I get onto the really sincere rants in some of my videos, which, you know, you played some of We're Alive at the Same Time, smiley face. And in that video, the part you played is mostly funny stuff, but at the end it gets very sincere and very sort of ecstatic, where I'm talking about we're alive at the same time. And, you know, sort of trying to call people's attention to that, get people, like, to refresh their appreciation of that. Because in everyday life, obviously, you can get very bored of life. I mean, our system makes it so that it's hard to stay excited about life oftentimes. I don't know. I could see ways into which you say that they feel like selfies. Because they're trying to capture, like, they're trying to capture something that is really at my core, and which is really... Well, because you said self, because the person said selfies of the soul, and I mean, soul is a term I don't really engage with that often, but if I had to talk about what soul means, it would be like that stuff that you really mean deep down, that stuff that, like, if somebody asks you, like, what is the one thing that you would want to tell people in the world before you go and your life is over, then it is that type of stuff. Then it is, like, edited down to the stuff that I really feel and the humor that I really love, you know. My videos, my poems, they're selfies of the soul in that I'm trying to put everything that I really love and believe in there.
Over the past few weeks, a few people have made the argument to me that any work of art is a selfie, essentially, no matter what the subject is. And your poems, I started to think about them, and videos, they're so full of pop culture references, and they're so kind of the moment, that maybe they're less a selfie of the soul, if you will, than, say, a poem from Mary Oliver. But then I got to thinking about the selfie phenomenon and how selfies are kind of, by nature, of the moment. They're not really meant to be the single representation of a self. So maybe they are truly selfies.
Well, I don't know. I'm not that attached to calling my art a selfie, but
right.
I will say, like, the, you know, I mean, art is going to reflect the moment in which it was created. And a lot of artists have not fully started to engage with the internet and being on the internet most of the time and, you know, having most of your social life on the internet and all that stuff yet. So, but I have been somebody who has consciously and intentionally put myself in those forms and thought, like, how can I create poetry, create art in these forms? And so I think, like, yeah, there's pop culture references, but that, like, that's in everybody's mind right now. That's, you know, I don't know, that's the time that I was living, and that is my soul, myself right now, you know, is this culture that I'm surrounded with and which is fed to me all the time.
You present so many different characters in your work. Maybe they're all aspects of yourself, or maybe they're just characters you riff on. How much time do you spend thinking about how the people who watch your videos perceive you or think of you?
Well, one of my favorite responses to my videos is when people say, like, what the hell did I just watch? You know, like, that's one of my favorite reactions. So in a sense, I'm okay with people judging me or thinking that I'm crazy. Or a common thing is that people think I'm on drugs, which I'm not. I don't do any drugs. I think, like, I don't know. I want my sincerity to shine through, but I don't think it always needs to. I think, you know, if you pay attention to what I'm doing, then you can get who I am. Like, so many thousands of people have got who I am and have appreciated the sincerity behind it. That, like, I think if when people misunderstand me, which is pretty frequent still, that people judge me on the surface level and stuff, I think they're usually being pretty careless. I don't know. Maybe it's just a generational thing, or, like, not strictly generational, but, you know, something with a mindset of how we sort of engage with culture, you know. There's sort of, like, there's this term post-irony, and when people talk about that, they often think it means to be very calculated. But I feel like my work is, and most people who understand that term would say that my work is post-ironic, but it's not a calculated thing. You know, it's like, it's sort of this playful mix of things where I'm just off the wall joking, and then there's stuff where I'm very sincere. And overall, to me, it's just playfulness, you know? Mm. And I think a lot of people can feel that.
The generational thing has come up a lot in the office over the past few weeks. And it seems to me that part of the reason there seems to be this generational divide about it is because people in their 30s or 40s or 50s are maybe more concerned about having one clear public persona. But that doesn't necessarily seem to be true for people in their teens and 20s, do you think?
Well, the thing that's happening in terms of public persona now is that all the different parts of your life are having a harder time keeping themselves separate, you know. Usually you were able to be somebody at your job and then come home and be somebody else to your family and somebody else at the family reunion and somebody else with your buddies or whatever. But now it's like you're using the same social networks to sort of show off yourself to all of them. And so, like, you know, sometimes they'll put stuff like, oh, only show this to these friends on some social networks, but it doesn't really work, you know? You're kind of having to be, so in a sense, you kind of have to be one person now more than ever. But I mean, selfies, I don't know, selfies are exciting because they allow you to actively maintain and revise who you are visually or something, you know, that it's like you're the one who's editing the pictures of you and deciding how you want everything to look. It's potentially very empowering, you know, that you are in control of that.
And maybe the one self that we are now asked to present to the world gets to have more aspects to it.
Yes, I think definitely. And I think that's one of the best things about social media that's very exciting, you know. It's still a thing where people, you know, if they're trying to get a job, they'll try to, like, make sure that nothing comes up bad on their search results, and they'll try to take down, like, drunk pictures of themselves on Facebook and stuff. But in the future, I mean, we're moving toward a world where employers and everybody is going to have to accept that people have a life outside of their job and have a life outside of school or whatever. And so I think it's going to be a very positive thing. People might actually, like, look like, not like looking at your internet presence to see that you're, like, totally clean all the time, but just to see, like, if there's actually anything truly messed up there. Like if you're posting like stuff that's like racist or something, then they can actually look at that rather than just that you went to a party on the weekend or something, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, let's go out on a couple of poems. I've got another clip from one of your most popular videos, but maybe there's something you want to read first.
I have this thing that I wrote about what being a poet means to me. I could maybe read that. It's sort of a prose block.
Sounds great.
For a long time, I was not passionate about the label poet. I would point to strict definitions of poetry and say the label was really meaningless. There's no hard boundary of what you can call poetry versus what you can't. Every barrier has been destroyed. If you study much of 20th century avant-garde lit, you'll know that you can literally call anything poetry based on the precedents that exist now. So I decided that it makes more sense to think about it emotionally. What connotations does poetry have, and do I want to invoke those? There are some poor connotations relating to academia, maybe, but for the most part, I do like the connotations around poetry and even more around poet. 6 years ago when I told my uncle I was a poet, he said, "Tell me something wise about life," or something. It seemed funny to me at the time, but now I'm thinking, actually, yes, I want that to be the public perception of my occupation. I will tell you wise things about life. Or I will try, anyway. I will strive to be the dreamer, the poet, and the idealist that most people are too busy or too business-oriented to be most of the time. My role is to remind people of carpe diem, of love, of nature, and to say it in a way that is memorable so it sticks with you. That's a need that goes back through the millennia and will continue as long as humans live. This is a deep tradition I get to be a part of. I am a poet.
Shout out to everyone! Shout out to everyone! F***ing birds! F***ing dogs! The ocean! We are human beings! We are human beings!
Eventually, you will be dead. But today, you are not. Today, you are alive. Today, you get to move your mouth! You get to move your mouth!
And I love you! And I love you! I even love people's hair! And I love the smell of people! And how everyone is beautifully sucking at life!